Thank you, choir. Stana, what a great song with a tremendous message that no matter what, God is with us. And I'm going to be preaching this morning that on a subject that relates to that. I'll ask you to take your Bibles to Psalm 84, and we're going to read verses 5, 6, and 7 in just a moment. Psalms 84. It is a blessing to be able to be back here today and in the Lord's house with you as His people. I've traveled about 20,000 miles since I've seen you last. And seen a lot of faces, been a lot of places, but it's good to be back in God's country. Amen? Back where the river flows and the grass is green. But a lot has happened since we left to go to Latvia. There's a lot of things to do around here and as far as mission work is concerned. So if you want to get involved, I think you saw on the bulletin, there's a lot of disaster relief items that are needed. Plus, if you'd like to go and help, there's a lot of places that need shovel work and tearing out. So you can be involved in that. So if you'll let me know, we can plug you in and be a help to someone's house or someone's business or something like that. Also, since I visited with you last, the tabernacle at East Central Baptist Association, Tinkler Baptist Assembly, has air conditioning blowing in it. Thank you, Jesus. And the insulation's in, the sheetrock's up, the walls are painted, it's trimmed out, and we're going to order chairs. We have enough money to order 250 chairs, so we're going to be doing that the first part of the week. And so the kids that are going to church camp this week are going to have the nicest that they've ever had at Tinkler Baptist Assembly. No more 110 degrees to have church in. We're going to have a nice, cool place. We're telling people, if they come to church camp, bring a sweater because we're keeping that tabernacle cold. And we welcome you to come up there and visit some evening. We'll have worship at 7. Now, I need to tell you something, and I might need to run out the back door after I tell you this, but I'm not going to be here tonight. I'm going to beg off. Because the kids have a musical that they're involved in at First Baptist Stillwell. They've kind of been juggling the date, and they finally settled on tonight for their musical, the lady that operates that. And so I'm going to be there, but Colby King will be here to take my place. Now, Colby King Ministries is going to be at Tinkler Baptist Assembly this week, and so you'll get a little taste of what the children are going to get. They do revivals and speak in retreats all over the country. And so he needed a place to be, and I needed to be somewhere else. And so this worked out. And I talked to Brother Dennis about it, and Dennis wasn't too overly upset with me. But I appreciate you understanding that I won't be back tonight. So I'm going to give you the full load this morning, okay? So Psalm 84, and I'll have you out of here 12:45. That okay? Psalm 84, the Bible says in verses 5, 6, and 7, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in the Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well. The rain also fills the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God." Now, as you think about that passage of Scripture, about going from strength to strength in the power of God, especially when you go through a valley, I'm going to read another psalm. You can turn there if you want to, but I'm going to read a few verses from Psalm 145. It won't be on the screen, so just listen as I read these few verses from Psalm 145. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. Just think about those words. God is compassionate. God is good. Full of mercy, of great mercy, slow to anger. And I'm thankful, aren't you, that God is tender towards us. If God gave us what we deserved, there wouldn't be any of us here. There'd just be a smoky seat there where He just zapped us if we got what we deserved. I'm thankful that God is tender and slow to anger. All His works shall praise Him. O Lord, Thy saints shall bless You. I'm going to skip down to verse 15 or 14. The Lord upholds all that fall and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon You, O Lord, and You give them their meat in due season. From the bird to us, we get our sustenance from God. You open Your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserves all those that love Him, but the wicked will He destroy. You know, the Lord is a very patient God, very kind God. He is so different than any other religious group's deity. Our God is a just God, yet a loving God, and tender towards His people, tender towards His creation. In fact, as I just mentioned a while ago, if God wasn't that way, this creation would have been destroyed a long time ago by fire, as it will be in the end. But thank God He is slow to anger, tender in mercy, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's waiting for people to come to Him. He's gracious so that people can be drawn to Him. That's what the Scriptures say. And so He's waiting for people to come to Him and find rest, to find forgiveness, to find grace in Him. God is a good God. Amen? God is a good God. I want to preach this morning from that Psalm 84 on this subject. Good for us might not always feel good to us. Good for us may not always feel good to us. You know, a lot of times in life, it's kind of like we tell our children, this is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you. It's going to be good for you that I do this, right? Sometimes God, though His goodness disciplines us. His goodness leads us through a valley of struggle. Maybe even like the psalmist said, His goodness may lead us through a valley of shadow of death. But in that valley, we need not fear evil, for He is with us. And so, as we think about good for us, maybe not feeling good to us, I want to read to you a quote from an author and evangelist, Junior Hill. Listen to the words that he wrote. The line which separates that which is good from that which is good for us is very thin, and sometimes very, very difficult to recognize. We must be careful not to make snap judgments or too quick of an evaluation. Like unripened fruit, God's goodness is too quickly and casually cast aside as unpalatable and unwanted sometimes. So as you look at Psalms 84, this passage that I read, this very few verses from the text, is illustrating to us how the valleys in life, the valley here referred to as Baca means the valley of weeping, the valley of tears. So this valley of tears, they're never wanted We never long for those places where we struggle, but so often while going through valleys, God is refining us and He is doing good to us. He's doing what's good for us. We don't like to think of it that way, but on the other side, don't we find that to be true? I heard one time that if you preach a message to people that are hurting, you'll never lack for a congregation. That's probably true, isn't it? Because every one of us is either in a valley today, we're struggling in some respect, maybe physical, spiritual, it may be emotional or mental. It may be our family is in a struggle, we're in a crisis. So you're either in one, you may be coming out of one, or you may be fixing to go and you don't know it yet, but tomorrow starts a new crisis in your life. Would I be true in saying that? Just everybody say, uh-huh. Okay, because we're all on the same page there. So, God leads us through these valleys not to make us worse off, but to make us better off. You agree with that statement? Absolutely. So, there are two ways that valleys of weeping can actually prove to be a blessing. Two ways that I want to share with you that valleys of weeping can actually prove to be a blessing. I want you to think about a few characters in history before we dive into this. Think about George Washington. You bury him in the snow of Valley Forge and give him few troops and less supplies, and you come up with a great leader. You come up with a president who was one of the greatest generals that we have ever known. You take someone and raise them in abject poverty and turns out to be a guy named Abraham Lincoln. You take someone, you strike him with infantile paralysis, and he can become someone like Franklin Roosevelt. You burn someone so severely in a schoolhouse fire that the doctors say he'll never walk again, and you come up with someone like Glenn Cunningham, who set the world's record in 1934 for running a mile in 4 minutes, 6 seconds. You have a man born deaf, or who is deafened, and you have a composer like Ludwig van Beethoven. I think you're getting the idea, aren't you? You have someone that people call a slow learner or retarded, and you say he's uneducatable, and you have a guy we called Albert Einstein. See, sometimes the things that in our life look to be bad, God can use them for good. So when you're going through times in your life, struggles and disappointments, understand that these valleys of weeping, can actually be valleys that bring blessings. So think about this first point with me as we think and look at Psalms 84. What may seem to be bad for us may bring something very good to us. Good for us could very easily seem bad at the time of the occurrence. The writer, and we believe it to be David, he says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them who, passing through the valley of Baca, makes it a well. The rain also fills the pool." See, we need to understand that God will not allow something bad to happen to us unless He has planned in that for our good. God is planning something good for us. The writer talks about a valley of weeping. A valley where tears are being shed. And they may be tears because we're repenting, we're in contrition. They may be because we're in mourning because of a loss. I studied this, and it's possible that this was written by Jehoshaphat, one of the kings of Israel, as they were going into war, coming back from war, and had experienced great loss. And so, at a very low moment in life, the writer says, when you go through that valley, trust in God. Find your strength. Go from strength to strength and find that lasting power, that ability to go on from the one who can give it, the only one that can give it, and that's God. Find it from Him when you're at your weakest moment. While you're there, make a well. Why do you make wells? So you can go draw water out, right? This is probably a dry valley. This is probably a valley where it's arid and nothing is really growing very well. And so you're making this well so that the next person coming behind you might find water that's filled that hole, whether it's from the ground or from the sky, so that they can have refreshment, that they can be nourished as they're going through it. So God allows us from time to time to go through bad places in our lives, not just so that He can teach us, but so that He can help others through us. How many of you have looked back on a time in your life? And I need a little audience input this morning, okay? But how many of you look back on a time in your life when you were struggling and God brought you through that, and then here comes somebody into your life that's going through something similar to what you went through. And God says, here's a moment of epiphany. I did that so that you could help them. You could be a blessing for them. So when you go through the valley of weeping, you got to think about not just yourself, but God's doing something through you for somebody else to bring about nourishing for another person. How many of you know Romans 8:28 by heart? If I just said that word, Romans 8:28, if you know it by heart, say it with me. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose, right? You might have known that in some other translation, but in the old King James, we know. For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So when you come into that text, Paul is writing about all the trials, all the troubles, the groaning that we go through in life. And he says, there are times when you don't know what to say. There are times when you don't know how to pray. There are times when you want to throw your hands up and give up. There are times when you're like, I can't go on, God. But then he comes to that verse and he says, for we know that all things work together for good. You ever been to a place in life where you don't have the words to say? You get down on your knees and you just don't know how to pray. The words don't come easy. And thankfully the Holy Spirit prays on your behalf and makes utterances to God for you so that prayer is being accomplished. You ever have that? And the times you can't see the light of day, and really all you can do is just say, thank you, God, that I'm saved. I'm hoping in salvation because I know that you saved me and that my home's in heaven. God, it's dark right now. It's desperate right now. And then like a breath of fresh air, we can say those words, I know. And no matter what I'm going through, all things work together for good. Because I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. No matter how deep the valley, God's working good in my life. I found out a long time ago that the higher the peak, the lower the valley. You're on the mountaintop today, this week, this month, this year. Just remember, the taller the peak, the lower the valley. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Group participation time, okay? Do you learn more on top of the mountain or down in the valley? Okay. Are the fields more fertile at the top of the mountain, at the top of the ridge, or down in the valley? So where do you think you grow the most? Down in the valley. All things work together for good. So I'm taking you through valleys so that you can grow strong. Go deep. It can be all that I plan for you to be. It's like the song the choir sang. Oswald Chambers said something years ago. He wrote it down, and I've written this down in my Bible in various places. But he said this, I doubt that God can use someone greatly until He's hurt him deeply. Write that down in your Bible. He said, I doubt that God can use someone greatly until He's hurt him deeply. You go back and you look at any character in the Old Testament, any character in the New Testament, you look at any biography, autobiography on the shelf in your library, and this is what you'll find. Those people went through struggle. Many times their whole life was a struggle, but God brought greatness through it. So if you want God to do great things through you, He may have to do hard things to you. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. You know how most of us, well, I'll just talk about me. You know how I respond to hard times? God, why me? Why do I have to go through this? Why is this burden being placed on me? That's not how God wants us to go through these times, folks. God wants us to go through these times and these times be a blessing in our lives. God, I'm going to draw near to You. I'm going to cast my care upon You, for You care for me. God, I need to learn, what is it You're trying to say to me right now? What is it I need to do differently? And like that sparrow that every day God feeds, we need to remember to say, thank You, God, for helping me right now. Second thought. The one thing you would hope to avoid may be, as it turns out, the one thing that you needed the most. Listen to me. Sometimes what you're trying to avoid is what you need. I like to avoid exercise. The great apostle Paul had something so dreadful in his life that he prayed over and over and over again for God to remove it. 2 Corinthians 12, he said that God put a thorn in his flesh to buffet him. It's like a messenger of Satan to buffet him. And that thorn was so dreadful that the Apostle Paul, I mean, think about what he had to go through in life. It was so dreadful that he kept praying, God, please remove this. You don't know what it was. But God, I need you to remove this. Oh God. Three times, God, let it depart from me. And God said to him in response, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul, my grace is going to be sufficient right here in this moment. The problem that you have is for your good. You want to avoid it, but it's going to make you strong. You want to get out of this situation, but it's what you need the most. My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul responds to God. Listen to Paul's response to God. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then am I strong. He says, God, since you have put it the way you put it, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, because I want the power of God to rest upon me. So now, God, I'm going to take pleasure in infirmities. How many of you, the last time you prayed like that? God, I'm taking pleasure in my sickness. I'm taking pleasure in my necessities, in reproaches, in persecution, in distress. For your sake, God, because when I am weak, then am I strong. See, what we're trying to avoid, God has brought into our life because He knows we need it the most. Paul, you don't think you need this thorn, but I'm telling you, this thorn is going to drive you to dependence on me. It's going to put you in such a state of mind and a state of emotion that the only thing you can do is cast yourself upon me every day. And when you cast yourself upon me, Paul, then I will blanket you. That's the Greek language here. I will blanket you with my strength. My Holy Spirit will blanket you. And you will be very strong. Because I'm going to be strong through you. Your weakness becomes your greatest strength. He's not talking about the weak link, you know, the thing that I want to do in sinful ways, but when I realize how insufficient I am in myself, then I cast myself upon the cares of God, and He makes me strong. When was the last time you thought about it like that? God, I'm weak. I don't need education. I don't need a stronger mind, a stronger body. I don't need to be healthier, God. I don't need more, God. All I need is you. It would all do us good to pray like that. Because then we'd come to the same conclusion that Paul came. I can take pleasure in my situation, my problem, my struggle. Because if I cast my care upon Him, He will care for me. And He'll do things through me that I can't do on my own. As this simple illustration is the lodgepole pine cone. It may hang on that tree for years or fall to the ground. Never open up. Never open up until a fire comes and destroys the forest. Then you know what happens to that lodgepole pine cone? It opens up. You know what happens after that? It's one of the first plants to regrow where a fire has occurred. Sometimes all we need is the fire that God puts us through to refine us so that we can grow. Psalmist talks about going from strength to strength. The only way you can go from strength to strength is realizing that your strength is God. I used one other word that I want to look at in Psalm 84. He said this, passing through. Did you see that? I just want to turn back over there. I think it's the first verse that I read from Psalm 84. Verse 6. Who passing through. Now don't everybody jump up and shout and say hallelujah and amen all at once. But you don't have to stay. You remember reading Joseph in Genesis? How many of you remember reading Joseph in Genesis? There's a phrase that keeps reoccurring in the Joseph story in Genesis. If you haven't read it in a while, go home and read it. Here's the phrase that keeps reoccurring in Joseph in Genesis. Are you ready? And it came to pass. When you read that, just underline those words and just go back and look and see how many times that happened. I mean, he's into trouble. He didn't get himself into trouble, but he's always into trouble. But it came to pass. And I preach a message from Joseph. This too shall pass. Say, Brother Joe, why'd you preach that this morning? I don't know. But God wants us to hear this. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're fixing to get into. I don't know what I'm fixing to get into. But this too shall pass. And while I'm passing through, I better not waste the experience. Are you listening to me? Don't waste the experience. It's a character building moment. Trouble very rarely makes us to be stronger. It reveals what we already are. So when you enter into that, say, God, help me to rely on you. Robert Browning Hamilton wrote, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow. Ne'er a word said she, but oh, the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Passing through the valley of Baca, weeping, make it well. Maybe this morning, you say, I'm passing through. It's because I've done some things that I shouldn't have, and I'm in this valley because I put myself here, and I need to repent. I need to come to terms with sin in my life, and I need to confess. Maybe you'd say, Brother Joe, I'm in this valley, and I'm struggling with physical things. It's my family, Brother Joe, that I'm struggling with. Maybe it's your financial things. It could be that Satan has been allowed to buffet you, to come against you, just like Paul was. He was allowed. It was allowed to for him to be buffeted. There's a reason for this. God will load your wagon, so all you can do is call out to Him. He wants you to cry out and say, God, help. That's really all He wants. Our youngest, Hudson, has a very prideful phrase that he likes to use. Very proud, little boy. I got this, Daddy. I got this. I mean, with the chest out and the head up. Daddy, I got this. Don't do that with God. Don't do that. Just say, God, I don't know what I need to learn or what you need to chisel off of me, sand off of me, but I'm going to let you have this and help me through it. Amen. Bow your heads, please. And Miss Rhoda and Miss Nana, Father, Your word has been preached. I've probably not done justice to the verses that I've read, Father. Lord, I've given what I believe You've taught me and given to me. So, Father, today, as we sit here and we've listened, Lord, I don't know what we're going through. You do. Teach us. Help us to cast ourselves upon You. Cast our care. To be like the apostle who said, okay, Your grace is sufficient. Then I'm going to take pleasure in my weakness, in my infirmities, in my reproach, my distress. But when I'm weak, I'm strong. God, help us to just say, God, You get this. You help me, because I need You. Grow me, Lord, and show Your strength through me. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Miss Dana, what are we singing together? This is an invitation time. I need Thee every hour. Stand with me. The altar's open. Maybe you need to come. Just get before the Lord. Maybe you can do that right there where you're sitting. I'm here if you need my help.